The title was, Is More of God and Less of Us? And I know in itself that it doesn't sound fantastic sometimes. But for us to fulfill what God wants to do in our lives, it has to be less of us and more of Him. Allowing Him to use us, to bring us into our destinies, and to take us into places that we would never imagine we could have even gone ourselves. Because that's God. He's amazing. Amen. So the first scripture I'm going to use is Galatians 5 and verses 22 to 26. No, sorry, it's not 22, but 22, sorry. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things is no law. Amen. Amen. Now, 10 years ago, there would never have been my fruits at all. And 10 years on, sometimes and not always my fruits either. Because we're human. But when it's less of us and more of Him, this is the evidence in our lives, is the fruit of the spirits. People will recognize us by our fruits. They will recognize us because God is the one who's inside of us and living through us. I just want to read out a quick quote. It says, always remember, God will never take anything away from you without the intention of replacing it with something much better. Amen? Amen. God will never take anything away from us without replacing it with something much better. What God's plan is for us is so much better than what our plan is for ourselves. When we plan for ourselves, we will plan sometimes with restrictions. To be honest, we do. We plan with restrictions. We've got a plan A down to Z. I have. Most people use plan A and plan B, but I've got plan A to Z for just in case. But that's just the way God is. God has got so much more for us. But for God to come through us and use us and manifest His power through us, there's got to be less of us. There has to be less of us because we will block it. We will block it. In Matthew 12, verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. So what fruit are we known by? As we go out in our daily lives, as we live, you know, in the world, we've got to go to work. We go to take our kids to schools. We do all different things in our day-to-day living. But what is the fruit that people recognize as you walk out your life? What is the fruit that people will see as you walk out your life? Will it be the fruit of beep, get out of the way, I'm late? Yeah. You know, it's so funny, when I get in traffic, I never get angry at traffic. I always thank God I'm not the person who's caused it. You know, if traffic's there, it's there. You know, I'll just sit and wait, and I'll get to my destination at whatever time the Lord had already planned before I even knew it, I was going to get there. You know? But what I do know is God already rearranged my plan to make sure I was not in that accident. Amen. To make sure I wasn't in that pile-up. To make sure I wasn't the cause of that crash. But then, I might have a day where I have lack of sleep. The kids have kept me up all night. And every now and then I have a moment. Because what we're looking for is not perfection. We're not here. We're not perfect. We're only perfect because Christ made us perfect. That's the only reason why we are perfect, because it's Christ that's in us. His righteousness makes us perfect. So we're never going to be perfect. We're not looking for perfection. Although some people might think they're not far off. I'm definitely not. So when I really think about my past and I think about who I was and what God did in my life, I'm blown away. I'm blown away. And as I was preparing this word, I was in worship and in prayer, and that song, I give myself away so that you can use me. And we sing that song, Lord, I give myself away so that you can use me. So in itself, the song is saying, when there's less of you, God can use more. I give myself away so that, God, you can use me. And there's been times in my life where I didn't want to give myself away. There was times where I didn't want to take that decision or make that decision or go down that road because it was tough. But we have to. God needs to transform us so he can use more. And the flesh doesn't like it. The flesh doesn't like it because it's painful. The fruit of the Spirit goes against everything that everybody else will believe in. If I was having trouble and I rung up my non-Christian friend for advice, he's not going to talk about this at all. He's not. He's going to give me advice of the world. But we're not of the world. And if I wouldn't give my life away, I wouldn't be available. I wouldn't be available. I wouldn't be available to do God's work, to do his will, because it's all about me. Ricky doesn't like that. I'm not interested. No. But when it's more of him, we say, Lord, use me. As Isaiah said, he said, whom shall I send? And he says, Lord, send me. Can we be like Isaiah and say, Lord, send me? Why? Because it goes against what everybody else. When your family, you know, when you tell your mum and sisters and brothers or friends and family that don't know God, that you've made this decision, to them it's like, what? You know, when I made the decision to go into full-time ministry, I was working in the railway, earning good money, just got a promotion, and then I got offered a job in the church, which was going to be, I think, about a 13.5 grand pay drop. That didn't happen in the end. But because I said yes, I said, God, you know what? I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to say yes because I know it's you and this is my heart. This is what I want to do. This is where I believe you're taking me. By the time the job went through, that wasn't the case. You know, there was a slight drop, but it wasn't nowhere near that amount of money because God had already prepared beforehand that other stuff was going to come in and he had already got the blessing there for me. So he already knows. And I remember when I first got saved, and it was in Pastor Gideon's office. And I hope you don't regret that decision, you know. But it was in Pastor Gideon's office, and I sat in that room, and I was like, wow, yeah, this is what I want. This is what I've been after. This is what my heart has beated for. But then New Year's Eve, I would be in church, hands in the air, singing, dancing, praising God. As soon as 12:05 came, there was a car pulled up at the front. I was in straight down to the O2, raving. Couple of glasses of wine. Yeah. And then when, you know that song, I am blessed, I am blessed. It always comes in a nightclub and you have your Christian moment. Hey. In the nightclub, yeah, and you're like, yeah, come on, God, and then all of a sudden the migraine skank comes on, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's twist this back over. But in reality, could I still be that person and be standing here today? I can't. And I'm not here to make us feel bad or to condemn us. It's not about that. The Holy Spirit convicts us, guides us into all truth, but the truth hurts. It goes against. So while your friends are raving and doing whatever they want to do, you can't go. And when I moved to Medway, and I have to be careful what I say about my background, by the way, because I'm not really introduced myself too much. So I was a naughty boy, and I grew up in Thamesmead. In case, I know a lot of you have heard this, in southeast London. And yeah, I was a bit dodgy. Let's just say that. But I have to be careful. But I have to be careful because I forget myself because I work in a prison. So this is how you know God's real, yeah? So I avoided the place. Sam Harry got me in, and I deal with people. And he didn't take me in there, you know, and deal with me, but I actually got in, you know, I work in the prison, and I deal with people that have drug and alcohol misuse, and, you know, I work alongside them and put them into groups of rehabs and stuff like that. So then I forget, and then I blurt out my past, and I'm being recorded and shoved on Facebook, and my colleagues will probably be like, oh. You know, obviously it'd be my word against theirs, and I was saying, I was just trying to boost the crowd, that's all I was doing. It wasn't really what I was doing. But I have to be careful. So I work in a prison. So I hear stories, I see people in bondage, in chains, every single day. You know, every single day. But when we're born again, every chain is broken. Every chain is broken. Not some, every chain. But as we walk in and when we mature in our walk, we realize that we were saved and it was nothing about us. We were saved to give God the glory. We were saved so that our good works, he says, continue doing your good works so that your Father in heaven will be glorified. I didn't do good works so that I could get the glory. Because I know me. And sometimes I'm awful. Sometimes the fruit of the Spirit is the last thing on my mind. But it's about him. So he gets the glory. So when people look into your life and say, really? You? That happened to you? You know, this God. And that's how people know God's real. They know they're real because of us. The way we conduct ourselves, the way we move, the way we use our lives, what we do, how we treat people. That's when people knock in and say, that's what I want. There's no point offering me something that I've had before. You know, I needed something different. I needed to see something different. And when I walked through those doors, it's exactly what I got. And I found someone, you know, who changed the whole course of my life. Amen. 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 And that scripture, sorry, it was in Matthew 5, verse 16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we know it's not easy. And family get upset. One of my friends, you know, he says today, Christianity took his best friend away. Didn't take me away. And it's so funny. I'm just going to say it, but it's a lot easier to tell people about your sexuality and stuff like that today than it is to say I'm a born-again Christian. I'm telling you. People are out there and they're like, ooh, not being rude, because listen, I've got friends that are homosexual, but they will say, oh, I've always wanted a homosexual son and stuff like that, or a daughter and stuff like that. You say you're born again, you're thrown out the door. I don't understand. I don't know who you are. What's that all about, Christianity? You know what I mean? But it's easier to do those things now, because the enemy knows what's happening. And it will already make us look like we're the ones with the problem. And we ain't. We're not the ones with the problem. We know the truth. And only the truth will set you free. And the enemy is the father of lies. He's the father of lies. So there's nothing personal at all. It's the reality of what we live in. And the trouble is, as Christians, we need to live in reality sometimes. We have to live in reality. I tell the guys in the prison, do you know what? There's a big door that's waiting for you to walk through it, and it's called reality. And most of them turn around and say, well, I ain't going through that. Why? Because it hurts sometimes. Reality hurts. But until you face reality, you can't let God deal with the inner core of what's going on in our lives and the issues that he needs to deal with. We have to go through it. We have to. And you know what? I say it again. Christians as well, when you give your life over to God and you allow God to take control, there's Christians that don't understand it either. They don't understand. You know? Because you know what? The level of conviction they're at ain't the same level of conviction of where you're at. So it's not about judging them. It's about just trusting God and continuing with what you know God has called you to do. Because that's the most important part. It's not about understanding they're in a different place. They are in a different place to where you are sometimes. And you know, my mum, bless her heart, she got saved, you know, on the doorstep of our house in Kent. You know, and wow. But if I tell her, you know, oh mum, you know, you should get yourself into a local church, and she's at the stage, oh, I'll pray at home. Don't tell me where I need to go. The Lord's everywhere. You can't argue, can you? Because he is, you know. He's omnipresent. You're like, yeah, I get that, mum, but you know, there's more to it. You know, you find yourself a new fella. No, I'm joking. You could just go there and, you know, and be blessed. And because you know what? We have to be careful how we treat people, because you don't know who God's going to use to bless you. Amen. You don't know. We don't know who God's going to use to bless us. And that's why we be careful on how you treat people, because he uses the unexpected people. You know, I think I've bought 2 cars out of about 5. And there were people that didn't expect me to give me their car, you know, but they did. you know, and I'm just waiting for the Jaguar or something, you know, BMW. Now, I say that with content. It's probably like on its last legs, like, give it to Ricky. He'll make use of it. No, I'm just kidding. But do you know what I mean? We don't know who God will use to bless us because he uses unexpected people in unexpected ways. And he does it with unexpected people in unexpected ways so that you know it's him. You know, when you're walking in faith and people say, listen, there's faith and then there's Wonga. That's one of the elders. There's faith and then there's Wonga. Which one are you going to pick? But it's hard. It's hard when you're sitting there and you're thinking, Wonga's just a phone call away. You know, but it is tough sometimes. But God has got us. He's always got us. And in the same scripture, you know, in Matthew, in 5 verse 14, it says, you are a light of the world, a town built on a hill that can't be hidden. When you encounter Christ and he does something in your life, you can't be hidden. It's just something going on inside of you that you just got to tell people. Something that takes place in your heart, in your being, and you just can't hide it. You just can't hide it. People see when you walk in a room. It's so funny how some people, you know, you've experienced in work, and people say, oh, there's something different about you. And, you know, normally it ain't your hair or your makeup and stuff like that. But there's something different about you. And what is it? It's Christ. The Holy Spirit manifesting itself through your life. When you say, Lord, have your way with me, Father. Have your way with me. Do as you please, Lord. People notice it because it's not normal. It doesn't feel normal sometimes. It doesn't. You know? But people notice and they take note. And then they look in and say, it's what I want. It's what I need. It's what I've been waiting for. And one of the toughest challenges I had before, it says, can God love his people the way he wants to love them through you? And what a challenge. What a challenge. Can God love his people the way he wants to through you? Or are you going to block him? Because it's all about him. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. And the way he would want to love someone is completely different to the way that I want to love them. And to be quite frank, I don't actually like them. There's some people in your life you just ain't going to like. You know, they call it the old personality clash. Yeah, I just clash with their personality. But sometimes it might just be us being the blockage. Because we haven't dealt with what we need to deal with in our life first. But you know, there are some people that you just like, Lord, if I weren't a Christian, I'd tell them about themselves. But your will be done, Lord, not mine. Oh, I love you. No, I'm just kidding. But we have to live in reality. You know, when people say, Lord, I need patience. And they send the most irritating person you've ever seen in your life to turn up knocking on your door. And you're like, I failed in that. Lord, I didn't realize it was you. Send them back. I need to get this right. I'm just going to have a water. Oh, sometimes we be careful what we ask for, you know. As my pastor says, he thanks God that some of the women he wanted to marry before he was a Christian, that God blocked it. And I'm sure women might feel the same about some of the guys in their lives as well. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not. No, I am. Reality is a big thing. But the reality of it is, what does the Bible tell us to do? Check ourselves soberly. When you check yourself as a drunk person, wow, I look good. I look great. Yeah, look at me. Woo. When I check myself soberly, I'm like, oh. It hurts because it's reality. Now I can see the real me. You know, there's nothing blocking, you know, what I'm really looking at. But we check ourselves soberly because sometimes it might just be about us. Maybe it might just be about God doing something to us to make us understand that we need to change because he's got so much more for us to do. This is just the beginning of what God wants to do in some of our lives. He's got so much more. And just like a marriage, you know, when a dad brings his daughter down the aisle to hand him over to some random guy or, to another man, and there's an exchange that takes place in that marriage. Basically, the father is saying, my responsibilities that I have for this person is now passed over to you. And that's why you then take on the name of the man, because he now is responsible for you. And there's been an exchange that took in every single one of our lives. And I tell you, the devil did not want to walk you down the aisle. Believe me, there would have been some tussling going on as you're walking down this aisle. But you know what? When you give your life to God, he never had a choice. And there was an exchange that took place. And we took on the character of God. We took on the character of Christ. We have now become Christ-like. You can never be Christ because there's only one of him. But we can be like him. We can be like him. And in today's world, I know that don't look fantastic, but we can be like him. We want the people of the world to see that there's something different about the church. And how does that happen? When we become like Christ. 2,000 years later, he's still talking about him. There's people going to sleep Muslims and waking up Christians. There's people just walking down the high street and just heard a single word that someone had said about God and radically turned their life around. He's still doing it today. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know that time with Jesus, 3 times. Lord, if you can take this cup away from me, if there's another way, but not my will, your will be done. Lord, if there's another way, take this cup from me, but not my will be done. Lord, if there's another, this 3 times. He didn't say, Lord, if you can take this cup, there you go, there, I'm off. Because that's what we feel like we need to do sometimes. But he said, Lord, if, but not my will, your will be done. And there'll be some times when you're on your hands and knees and you do not understand what God is doing in your life. You will never fully understand it. And you're like, God, what is going on? Why this? Why that? But I tell you, in the end, when you rise up from your knees, you will understand exactly what God is doing. Because he never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He is wonderful. He is glorious. And he loves us so much. And he would never love us enough. I mean, he can never not love us enough to just kick us out and put us to shame. What does he say? I will never put you to shame. And when he says never, it means never. All that is your testimony building when you're going through stuff. It's building the testimony. So when people look in, they say, wow, that can only be God. Amen. When people get radically healed of cancer, it can only be God. Amen. When surgeons are looking in and saying, well, we didn't know what happened here. They left with cancer. They came back. It's gone. We're confused. It's God. Because he needs the glory. It's about him. Yeah. And there will be times when you say, Lord, if there is another way. But sometimes you have to realize it's not about us. What I have to go through might have to be the benefit of Bramwell. And it was never about me. It was about Bramwell. Maybe what he was going through was about somebody else, about Lloyd. But sometimes we have to go through certain things because it builds our character. It builds our character. We go through a storm. And we get through it. God gets us through. And when the other one comes, we act like we've never been through the first storm in the first place. And we forget that it was God that got us through this one. He's going to get us through this one, the next one, the next one, and the next one. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. God calms the storm. We just got to trust him in it sometimes. As hard as it is. But when it's less of us and more of him, it's a completely different ballgame. When you strengthen your character in God, it's a different ballgame. And in Ephesians 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, imagine, according to what? His power that is at work within us. His power that is at work within us. I am powerless But in him, oh, I'm powerful. In him, I'm going to see miracles. In him, I'm going to see people saved. In him, I'm going to see my family come to the foot of the cross. Because it's his power at work within me. And trust me, I can think up some stuff that is amazing. Off on an island on my own. No wife, no children. No, just kidding. Listen, I'm not like, I'm just kidding. Because I can just see the women looking to beat me down when I get off this stage. Like, but on a serious note, we can imagine some great stuff. The imagination is a great tool. And we imagine, but sometimes, you know what the problem is? We live in a fantasy world. We live in fantasy world sometimes. You know, we do. But I tell you, what I can think up, I blow myself away sometimes. But imagine what God is thinking up for us. Imagine what God is doing for us. You know, I've had the privilege to fly around the world to Ghana, to India, to Romania, to the Philippines, working in the gypsy sites of Romania. I've worked on the dump sites of the Philippines. I've been in the prisons of Ghana. And thank goodness I didn't get caught out in that one. You know, all these different things. And in India, I worked in orphanages. All through saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. When we walked in the prison in Ghana, white people were turning red, black people were turning white, and we were all a bit confused. Because, man, you walked in, and there was like, listen, it was like murderer, this, that, the other, all across their cells. He identified the crime they'd committed. And then you'd begin to walk out of these cells, and you're walking onto their ground. So, and there's one guy, one officer, who shuts the door. And in English prisons, if anyone's kicking off, you've got buttons everywhere. You can just press a button. And then there's about 20 officers running to your aid. No. And you're walking in and you're like, Lord, if I get out of this, I know you're real. I know you're real. You know, but you know what? Big men, murderers, sobbing their hearts out. Sobbing in the power of God. Because we didn't go on our authority. We went on God's authority. Amen. And when you're gaining God's authority, people have to get out of the way. Yes. And I tell you what, big men crying, praying for them, praying for illnesses, praying for different things that they were going through. And when we came out of there, the officer said to us, when are you coming back? And in my mind, I was like, we've got 3 days till we fly out. I'm sure we can avoid this at some point, you know. And he said, because they were the most notorious people we've got in this prison. And we didn't know before we went in. Why? Because if we would have known before we went in, I might have made an excuse up. Lord, take this cup away. Oh, I need a toilet. Do you have any toilets in the prison anywhere that's not there? Do you see what I mean? Because that's God. Because God says, listen, I'm going in with my power. All you need to do is open this for me. All you need to do is open this for me. And when we go in his power, it's a whole different ball game. And it blessed me. I walked away blessed. You know, I went into another prison in Ghana where, you know, there's no mental health facilities there. So people that had mental health issues, they were put into this cell above us, and we did this big thing down at the bottom. And all you can see was their hands dangling from the bars. And they said, these people will never leave that cell ever. That's where they will die. You know, and in England, wow. You know, if you don't give people their medication, you get sued. You know, I'm going to take you to the court. She didn't give it. Do you see what I mean? We have to thank God sometimes. We give him the glory. You know, we're blessed. So we can't keep fighting God. His light will shine through us. He wants to do so much more. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That's a bit difficult. And take up his cross and what? Follow me. Follow me being the key word. You know, one time when I was in Ghana, I had this amazing vision. And I was in a crowd. And there was these different tribes. I'm talking about black, Chinese, Indian, white, anybody you could think of. And they were just marching and marching, and the crowd were chucking stuff at them. verbal stuff, chucking stone, chucking all this different stuff at the, you know, these guys walking. But they wouldn't look to the left and they wouldn't look to the right. They just fixated on where they was going. I said, Lord, what's going on? Why are they not saying anything? They're allowing these people to chuck stuff at them. You know, I'm ready to go, you know. And the Lord just picked me up in this vision from the crowd. And I could see above, and then I saw down that Jesus was in front. And the Lord said, you see, when you fix your eyes upon him, it don't matter what people are doing, what they're saying. When you fix your eyes upon him, you will find your life. And the saying goes, I found my life when I laid it down. When I made it less about me, I found out who I really was in God. How could I have ever found out who I really was in God if I didn't deny myself and follow my cross? You know? And what I'm saying is, I know that we're you know, in the workplaces and we're out there, we're in the world. That's the reality of it. But there is a time when, you know, we have to pick up our cross sometimes. We have to. And like I said earlier, I don't want the same as everybody else. I've had it. I've had the same. I've had the money, the big chains and everything else. It didn't work. It didn't satisfy me. Nothing's ever satisfied me than him, the Lord. He's the only thing that ever satisfied me. So we need to take the focus off ourselves. If you think you're incapable, you're not. Because in God, you're capable. We've got to take our eyes off ourselves. Yeah, but I've been through this. Yeah, many people have been through stuff. But when your eyes are fixed upon him, it will do stuff you could never imagine. When your eyes are fixed upon him, it don't matter where you've been. It don't matter where you are today. The Lord is at the door, knocking. He says, what have we got to do? Let him in. We have to let him in. We have to let him into those sore places. We have to let him into those places that we don't even want anybody to know about. But we have to let him in. And he says, live a life worthy of the calling. And then he says, So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And I've written from the Amplified, he said, and that is to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses the gratitude to God for your salvation. And Paul says, there's nothing I need, nothing more worthy than just knowing him. Knowing him is enough, was enough for him. And the word worthy, and I'm sure you know this, is having or showing the qualities that deserve the specified action or regard. These issues are worthy of further consideration. And we need to be able to show the qualities of God in our lives. We need to show people that God is the only answer. Jesus is the only way. Amen. He is the only way. You know, one time I was around one of my friend's house, and he's not born again. And, you know, I read out some tough stuff with him. But you think of this, prior to that, And he lost his son to a brain tumor. But prior to that, he was asking me questions. He said, so what makes you think that your God is the only way? What makes you think that your God's the truth? When there's loads of religions out there, so therefore, really, we don't know if you're the truth. I said, okay. I said, well, how do you know somebody's a Hindu? And he began to describe the outer appearance of a Hindu person, of a Muslim person, of a Sikh person. Of a Buddhist. And I said, now how do you know I'm a Christian? And he said, because you've changed. Different ball game. It's an inward change that God does in us that you can see. I said, it's not about how I dress. It's not about anything to do with that. It's about what God has done in the inside of me that you can see and you are a witness to because you read out everything with me. Everything, you know, when we did the whole hustling, but it was together. It was there through the whole thing. He knew me inside out, you know, and he couldn't deny the fact God had done something on the inside of me. And then he began to question, where am I going to go when I die? And that's a whole different scenario, what we had a discussion on. But do you know what? He recognized there was something different about me. And that's the difference. Can people recognize there's something different about us? We're not the same as the world. We're different. And listen, I'm not talking about let's get too serious and, you know, and be like, you know. I love fun. I love fun. I'm always laughing and joking. I use that as a way to get in. And so when I witness to people on the high street, I say, listen, I've got a question for you. I say, but when I ask you it, can you please do me one thing? He goes, what's that? Don't give me a left or a right. I don't want to get beaten up. Is that all right? He goes, I ain't going to beat you up. I said, all right, cool. Do you believe in God? And then this conversation would just embark. But I love fun. I love laughter. I love all that. You know, it's awesome. Ah, huh? Oh, I love jollof rice. Wachi, shito, I'm on it. Rice and peas, my jerk chicken, my curry goat. I don't think I'm even British. No, I'm joking. So even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And give his life as a ransom for many. And when we give our lives away and we get more in with God, you won't find it difficult to come to prayer meeting. When I first got saved, I said, I'll be able to be the part of the prayer team. I don't know if Alice remembers, it's a long time ago. She gave me a list and it almost hit the floor. I was like, yeah, come on. So I was like, Lord, praying for this person, praying for that person. And about 5 minutes in, I was like, I'm sure Ronnie owes me 20 quid. You know? But now I'm like, you know, I love, embrace African culture and Caribbean culture, but when they say, as the Spirit leads prayer meeting, you're in trouble because you've got a minimum of 5 hours right about now. Yeah? So I'm on it, you know, I'm in it, come on, you know, I'm ready to go now, you know, but in the beginning, I couldn't give 10 minutes. But you won't find it to come to a Bible study, you won't find it hard to come to church. Wake up in the morning, you've got a bit of a, ooh, that means I can't go to church, you know? But we still find ourselves walking to the kitchen and grabbing the biscuits and everything. Ooh, it's a bit of a twinge going on here. Come on. You won't find it difficult to be there for people. And you will not find it to be an ever-present help for people. Jesus is what we're looking at. And it's impossible to outgive God because he gave us the best. God gave us the best. He gave us everything. Everything. He gave us the best. It's not about us. And in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. And he will show you which path to take. We need to get back down into that place of knowing who Jesus is. Man alive, he's got so much for us. So much more for us. Mind-blowing stuff. Mind-blowing stuff. I often say, I think they might chuck me out of the church one day and realize, oh, hang about, how did Ricky get on the stage? Mind-blowing stuff. This journey is awesome. It's exciting. It's awesome. It's exciting. God is an exciting God. Takes us on exciting adventures. Man, we need to get that fire back in our bellies for him. The Bible says, do not forsake what? Your first love. We become comfortable sometimes in our lives. And sometimes God makes us uncomfortable. But it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. And when you come out of the storm, wow, we jump for joy and we think, God, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe I got over that rejection. I can't believe I got over that hurt. I can't believe I forgive that person. I can't believe I did this, Lord, because it was you that did it, Lord. And as we go back to the original scripture in Galatians, peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. More of him, church. Less of us. Let you embark on a journey with God that's going to be awesome. You're going to see people set free before your eyes. There's people sitting here that don't even know the ministry that they believe they've got. And do you know why? Because God knows what it is. God believes in your ministry. God believes in your job. He wants to use you wherever you go, whether it's in the hospital, whether it's in the school, whether it's in a factory. It's irrelevant. God wants to use you in it. Where people are saying, "Can you? I don't know what to do. Can you pray for me? Can you help me?" Well, we've got to take a focus off us and focus on him. The one who is and who is to come. He is awesome. He is marvelous. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we go into a time of worship, we go into a time of prayer, you get before God. You can come to the front and there's going to be a team here that will pray for you, including myself. But Lord, we give ourselves away so that you can use us. And when God uses us, man, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. It can't not be awesome because he's an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.